Check, check, check. Hello. Hello, hello.
Hey.
That is sweet.
Sweet.
Greg's drinking the voodoo banana peanut butter chocolate.
Oh, it actually got bitter, too, at the end. I don't know whether Heather's going to like this.
It's a weirdo beer, that's for sure.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
We're back from vacation. Well, Jess vacation.
I'll have to get a battery for this before the main show.
Oh, good point. Good point. Well, do you have one right there?
Those are double triple A's.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah.
Aha. Okay, so we're just putting a battery into our backup system so we have it, so we don't lose a shit.
It sounds high tech. Our backup system.
Yes. I am happy to say that Santa got me a present.
Yes, and?
It's a, not a new pewter, but an old pewter that I was able to buy a few things for and then turn into a reasonable, actually a pretty damn good replacement for what I had.
That's good.
So I want to thank Santa for that, because it's very, very helpful. So thank you, Santa.
Gee, by what could you mean?
This is my old computer next to it, full of rice. not working too well.
No, it doesn't like swimming in the bathtub.
No, not especially not when they're on. Now, somebody told me that one thing that is a chance to try. He said that it worked for an iPhone that had been dunked into the water. Was open it up and find all the connections and put isopropyl alcohol on them, so that will stop that will take off any corrosion.
Yeah, but since it's not even working to start with, that's it's a preventative measure that's not going to fix anything.
Right.
It's just going to prevent the additional corrosion. It's a tip I hadn't heard of, but I mean, it perhaps, I don't know the chemistry, but the logic is it keeps the corrosion from happening, because I did read that if you get your stuff wet and it works, it might not work for long because that corrosion will kill it.
He said that it is the iPhone wasn't working. He did that, let it dry, and it started working again perfectly. So, I doubt it.
Yeah, I sent that iPod Nano through the washing machine.
He needed a new battery, he said, also.
I sent an iPod Nano through a washing machine and thought maybe I could replace the battery and get it working again. But I bought the battery, replaced the battery, still wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So,
now, I wonder, the SSD that's in here is probably soldered to the board, right?
Might be a module.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think it might be a module. So it might be, if there's a thing is, it's going to be a proprietary connector. So you're not going to really be able to test it easily to know if it still works, to sell it as a working SSD.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to say. Because I'm pretty sure it's not a SATA connector, so I couldn't use my USB to SATA, adapter. Yeah.
Well, maybe I could bring it into Apple, and they could be like,
see if it works.
Yeah. So they could at least get data off of it.
Yeah, maybe. You could go under that, right? Like, here, can you copy this to a USB or something? See what they'll say. They're usually pretty helpful with those kinds of things. Is it still within the warranty? No, it's not within the warranty period.
It's still within the warranty period, but
so they might be more. Obviously, they're not going to fix it because of the water damage. Right. But since it's under warranty, they might be eager to help you recover the data via that. So
maybe I shouldn't open it up before then.
Oh, to take the rice out? Well, I mean, like I said, they're going to know it's water damage easy, right? So they're not going to fix it. But if you tell them, can you just plug the module into something?
But I think that if you open it up, it voids the warranty.
No.
Really?
They wouldn't put screws on the bottom if that was the case. Well, for that one, no, it's not going to void the warranty. There'd have to be a sticker on the outside saying warranty void if opened or something like that.
Okay. Anyway, that's a boring report on that. I had a little car problems today. I had a battery issue. AAA came and thought it was going to replace the battery, but did a diagnostic and said it was just low on charge, and did a hot wire, or not hot wire.
Jumper.
Mm-hmm. It was on for about an hour. I tested it, you know, before you came, just briefly with the turn on, it worked, right. So it should be fine.
Yeah, it's unusual. It's weird that it would have ran low if you didn't leave any lights on or anything. You know, it makes me wonder if the alternator's gone bad or going bad. So that's
I don't think so, because if the alternator was going bad, then it would have trouble getting here. Alternator was fine. I think what may have happened is I have disconnected my alarm thing on it, or the horn part of the alarm, because mm-hmm. when it goes through cold cycles,
right.
The alarm kicks on. I think maybe the alarm may have kicked on a whole bunch because we've been having some,
right.
some cold and warm cycles.
So, your lights are blinking.
Right, yeah, and so that may have caused something.
Your neighbors who have dogs who walk their dogs probably think your car's all kinds of fucked up. Taking the dog out and the car's on most of the night blinking.
Car alarms are really useless.
Uh-huh.
They are completely useless because no one pays attention to a car alarm. Everyone just says,
someone's car alarm's going off.
No one ever says, call the cops, somebody's car alarm is going off.
Here's a question for you. Actually, this was Allie's question. I'm like, that's an excellent question, and Greg would appreciate it. She was confused by when Heather was saying something was going off,
mm-hmm.
not going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the question to you is basically, what are your thoughts on the etymology of going off?
It'd be etymology, not entomology. Entomology is insects.
That's bugs, yes. Etymology of going off versus going on versus... And kind of how it's opposite, right? Because when your alarm goes off, it starts making noise.
Right, yeah. From the mouth of babes. A kid would be the one to notice that.
Uh-huh.
Because we're too wrapped up in it. It's already in our heads and we don't think about it. But a kid would be like, yeah, why is that? And that is a good question. I wonder what let me check Adam online.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking like it probably originated around the time of wind-up alarm clocks, you know, that here's my speculation on the etymology
mm-hmm.
of it, you know, wind up alarm clocks going off. No, because there's probably were alarms and horns and things before that. It still doesn't, maybe like spouting off, you know, going off, you know, someone who's making a lot of racket and making a lot of noise.
I have to read some of these because mm-hmm. There's a couple off things.
Someone who's listening knows and is saying, come on, think of it, it's that.
I don't have a good answer for you right now. Maybe later.
Have to do some more research. Yeah, so that was one, Allie. Couldn't figure out what Heather meant by something going off. And it was like, you know, it was one of those things like, oh, yeah, I mean, what do you mean you don't understand that? But then you think about it, like, oh. But she's like, it's not off, it's on. You know, that kind of thing was her reply.
I mean, I guess what one, this is just a flat out guess, but perhaps something already relating to traps, like mouse traps going off. Because you set mm-hmm. them, you basically right. turn them on.
Or a gun, cannon, same kind of right. thing, right?
So since it's something you set, that is technically off, and then it's like you're setting it and it's on, and then when it's clicked, it's off.
Right. That's a good way to think about it, right? Because it's not armed anymore.
Right.
It's off. Sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, plausible, but that's not... That doesn't mean anything, really. So, you had just gone on a very long And I assume you still have colors in your face. That has probably something to do with.
No, actually, that was just over my parents' house. Okay. Allison got some hair chalk or something, uh-huh. and I thought it'd be fun to color my face. I actually haven't seen it yet.
It just kind of looks like you got some food on your face. It's weirdly on one side orange and on the other side green.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it yet. They didn't. They really weren't into it as much as they thought. They started coloring me, and then they kind of died off mm-hmm. before it was fully colored. But yeah, I was in Disney. Went to Disney for Christmas.
DISNE
Walt Disney World Resort in Lake Buena Vista, Florida.
So, overall impression.
Overall impression. It was a good time. It's a good time. I think everyone should check it out around. Greg just spilled some water on this.
Just a tiny bit.
This new laptop.
Nothing crazy.
It's really. I got so much to say. I'm trying to figure out like how to do the executive summary and then get into the details. Mm-hmm. But it's really neat around Christmas time with the decorations and whatnot. It was worth it. I maybe would have been better in another year or two. Max was a little bit older and had a little more patience, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the perfect time to take them is when like Max is 8 and Ellie's 12.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the perfect time to take them.
Probably.
And,
because, yeah, that's the problem is Allie's 6, Max is
3.
Hard for particularly Max to really appreciate and Allie to have anything but kind of a fragmented memory of it.
Yeah, I mean, Max liked it. He won't have much of a memory.
Yeah.
He also didn't have a lot of line weight and patience. Allison had almost as much patience as she needed, but not perfect. She had some meltdowns over things. I'll only remember the fun parts, but there was a fair amount of meltdowns and tediousness and like, why are we wasting all this money when the kids are acting like this?
I would say I'd everybody check Jeff's Twitter because he had a nice kind of running gag of pictures of you when you were 15 at Disney.
Oh, right.
And you recreating them. Because when you're 15 at Disney, you're not...
You're opposed to having fun with your parents. Yes. You're like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
So every picture of me is scowling and looking miserable. So I have, in Flickr, I have all these photos cataloged with Disney, so they're easy to find. And I thought of this when we were in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing at the Hollywood Studios, because like, it looked so familiar. I'm like, oh yeah, I know. I knew, had a vivid memory of certain photos that were in there. I'm like, let's try to do some recreations. And I found this one of me scowling right by the steps. I'm like walking around. I find the spot. I'm like, Heather, here, take a picture of me. And it took a couple takes for me to get the right the right slouch and get the, you know, all that stuff going. But did a little side-by-side collage with the iPhone app, you know, PicStitch that I use. And then I found there was a picture of my brother and sister riding the giant ant. So I got Max and Allie on the giant ant the same way. There was another one, me being miserable in front of a window. And it was really hard to find this window. I knew it was... used to be Mickey's Christmas Carol was the shop.
Uh-huh.
And I had to ask 6 people at Disney before someone could tell me where it was. And now it's Sir Mickey's. It was behind the castle. So, but it was getting dark by the... You haven't seen this one yet because I haven't put it up on Twitter yet. But it was getting dark by the time I was able to recreate the photo. So it's not a great comparison. And then there was another one, my dad right near there standing in front of the castle, kind of with his hand on his hip and like looking over his shoulder. So I recreated that one with me. Again, it was getting dark, so it could have been better, but it's still fun. There's a couple other ones of me being miserable. I'm trying to think. I know there's at least one more.
Well,
it's a neat idea, though.
Yeah,
because the other thing about Disney is, I mean, lots of things change, but also a lot stays the same.
Right.
And you can come back 21 years later.
Yeah, I mean, I was... down there, I'm thinking probably when I was 9 or 10. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it turned out I was talking to my parents about it. It turned out it was the same time of year. It was Christmas time. You know, it was easy for us because we didn't have any
No obligations.
Yeah. And when my mom was talking about it, she said it was like, the, you know, the great thing about going on Christmas Day was that the place was practically empty. Now I was like, I don't remember it being practically empty, but I remember it being not a mob.
No, these days it's one of the busiest days.
Yeah.
It was, I was using a third-party app for line times and things like that, and they were just doing park capacity. And Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas Day after Christmas, they were all 10 out of 10 on how full the park was. So it's as full as the park gets. And actually, the 22nd, I think, was the first day of the park. That was probably the lightest day.
Uh-huh.
We were surprised at how light it was. I mean, it wasn't empty. It wasn't a ghost town.
Yeah.
It was still a bustling, busy park, but we were surprised that it wasn't packed and all the lines weren't an hour long. That being said, the line wait times, I mean, there's a few rides where the line waits are 2 hours. But, you know, this app said the park's the busiest it gets. And a lot of the line wait times were, you know, 45 minutes, 50 minutes. But, I mean, compared to, like, Cedar Point, that's like nothing, you know? That's like, mm-hmm. that's as bad as Disney gets. That's not too bad.
Well, Cedar Point on a Tuesday afternoon is actually a great time to go. Don't go on a weekend.
Mm-hmm, right. But I remember going to Cedar Point and everything was 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go on a weekend, it's dense. It's a mess.
Yeah.
You can always bring your kids to Kennywood. I know you mentioned, you know, taking out at Cedar Point because that's
well, we vacation out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So we vacation on an island where you can see Cedar Point. So it's not going to be a trip. It's going to be, hey, let's go to Cedar Point this year.
But she is into roller coasters.
She loves them. I mean, she rode the only one she didn't ride, and this was because our schedule didn't work out. We actually had a fast pass for it, but we couldn't get back to the park in time, was the Rock and Roller Coaster at Hollywood Studios featuring Aerosmith.
Oh, God.
But
I'd probably shoot myself, or at least wear earplugs.
First one she rode was a kid's roller coaster. It was Goofy's Barnstormer. It's a metal roller coaster, no loops or anything. Not really any overbank turns either. Had a fast pass for it. Max rode it too. Max didn't like it. It was too fast for him. She loved it. Crazy. That thing had a wait time of like 90 minutes. And the roller coaster was probably only like 45 seconds of ride time. It was a super short roller coaster.
What does a fast pass do for you?
Fast pass lets you reserve a time slot and come back and not wait in the long line. Wait in almost no line. Well, let me get to that. I guess it's time to kind of do the play-by-play of the thing, of the parts. Because there's actually one of our listeners, Spooky Speeg, is going in April, and he had a couple questions, and I said, listen to the next pre-show, what are we talking about? So this is mostly for you, Spooky, and anyone else who is interested. So we stayed at the All-Star Movies Resort. It's one of the lower-priced resorts at the other end of the park. So the bus ride's a longer bus ride to get to the park, but still quite reasonable. And our drive plan, it takes about 18 hours of driving to get from Pittsburgh to Walt Disney World. And we were trying to figure out how to do the drive. And the plan when we got into the car was to leave here around 7 in the morning, drive to Jacksonville, which is about 2 hours north of Orlando, get a hotel room, get up, leave the hotel around 6, and get to the park at 8 was the original plan. As we were driving, we're a little behind that schedule. And by the time I went on hotwired.com to try to look for rooms around Jacksonville or Daytona Beach, it was after midnight, and you can't book rooms with those sites after midnight, except for the next day.
Mm.
So since we didn't have, you know, this easy way to find a reduced rate room, you know, get a good price, we're playing around with the idea of let's drive all the way into Disney World. Let's go to the resort and see if they have any rooms. It's probably going to be around 90 to 110 bucks. That's not too bad. About the price I'd pay. Expect to play anywhere in Orlando for a room with no notice. So we call them. It turns out, if we weren't going to arrive until after 3 a.m., we could just check into our room for the next day.
Hmm.
And it turns out we got there after 3 a.m. Actually, we were in the middle of nowhere. We were on Interstate 4, which is off of 95, heading towards Orlando, and really low on gas. And that's the meter on the Subaru. It tells you down to 40 miles. And once it's below 40 miles, they don't want to be liable for any kind of running out of gas. So it just goes blank and says dash, dash. And so we're like, oh, shit. The needle's below E. It says dash, dash. It just said 40 miles a few minutes ago. So I get off an exit, and there's nothing there. And I'm so low on gas, I pulled over. I turned off the car. We're on the phone trying to find gas stations. All the ones nearby aren't 24-hour gas stations because this was like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, shit, what do we do? I called like 3 or 4 gas stations. None of them are open. None of the closest ones are open. And then we start hearing this noise outside the car. There's some lady, drunk, like, weirdo lady walking down the street, like, yelling, like, hey, what are you doing? Ah. Like, so, like, shit, get the fuck out of here. You know, it wasn't sure it was a lady. It could have been a guy with a high-pitched voice. But, you know, it's 2 a.m., no lights anywhere. Someone's yelling at us. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no houses. There's no nothing. It's just, it's kind of wooded interstate exchange, you know, highway interstate exchange. Someone's walking down the street yelling at you, like, you don't want to roll in the window to see what's up.
Right.
Took off. Next exit, we found gas. No problems, really. It was just a very stressful moment because, shit, what if we run out of gas? 2 in the morning, yeah. Middle of nowhere.
That's what AAA is for.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you have to sit there with a crazy person beating on your window. So got the hotel room, 3 in the morning. I'm trying to remember what morning we got... time we got to the park that morning. It was still pretty early. We probably left the hotel around 8 or so. So a few hours sleep, got ready, left the hotel for the park.
That must have been kind of a rough day at the park because you didn't really get a lot of
sleep. It was a little bit of a rough day. I probably would do it again, though. I liked how everything lined up. Being frugal, you know, not wasting an extra night on a hotel somewhere, getting to the park nice and early. Worked out well. Yeah, so we went to the park. We have these My Magic Bands, which are these little RFID bracelets, and that's your admittance. It's your room key for your hotel. It's the your credit card's tied to it, so you can buy anything you want. Talk about frictionless payments. These guys got they got a down pat on how to separate you from your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy just to swipe that. Oh, give me a beer. Oh, $9. Beep. You know, give me another beer. Beep. $9. Fuck. but Spooky's got these and he was wondering how they work. I have no complaints about them. They work well. Trying to think what to say. I mean, they just work like they're supposed to. I almost lost mine on the dinosaur ride at the Animal Kingdom. Allison was with me and she was something hit the back of my leg and it was just her foot, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't something rolling around down there. So I tried to reach out and grab it and I knocked my band off. So now my band's on the floor and this is a ride that is like on a shaker table. Uh-huh. Like it could have easily just rolled out of the car onto the ground and we had like another 2 days to go. So I'm like panicking because I don't want to lose this band on the ride. I found it. I was able to grab it and, you know, put a, you know, hold on to the end of the ride, but that sucked. So be careful. You don't, you know,
I'm sure either you could deactivate and reactivate new bands or something.
Yeah, maybe. It would have been a lot of hassle that I didn't really want to deal with.
A little bit of hassle, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for Spooky who was worried, you know, wondering about the bands, yeah, no comment. I mean, it is convenient to be able to just pay for cotton candy with it and pay for anything you want. Talked about beers. There's almost no beer at the Magic Kingdom. There is beer at the Be Our Guest restaurant, but only for sit-down dinner, so you can't get any takeout or anything like that. And they got French and Belgian beers, so you can get Saison DuPont there, some Chimay, Cronenberg, 1554, things like that. We didn't have dinner there, so I didn't get to eat those. When we were at Hollywood Studios, there was a place back by the back lot tour called the Octane Cafe or something like that, and actually, there's two places. The first place I found was on the other side of the park, and they had Racer 5 there, and a couple other, like, Golden Monkey and stuff. Like, shit, give me a Racer 5. If I could drink an IPA at a Disney theme park, I'm a happy guy. And so we drank and then a little bit later on, we found this Octane Cafe, and they had Cigar City High Life.
They had saw that you have some in the fridge.
Sweetwater 420. They had Golden Monkey. They had some Bell's Oberon at one of the places. That was at Epcot. I saw the Bell's Oberon. Oh. There's an app. You can search for WDW Beers on the App Store, iPhone App Store. And it's not completely accurate, but it's plenty good enough for you to find beers when you're walking around the places. So for all you guys listening, this app's right up your alley. WDW Beers or Walt Disney World Beers will get you the app that you need.
Why don't they have a wine app too?
I don't know. They might.
Just curious. I mean, you know, I mean, they're clearly making it easy for you to find things for them. Mm-hmm. Is it an official?
No, this isn't from official. This isn't from Disney. No. I don't know how they maintain it, right? This guy must go to the park a lot and check with every booth and say what has what. But like I said, it was somewhat out of date. Like, it said that the Canada beer cart would have Unibrew. They didn't, right? All they had was Moosehead and Molson Golden and stuff like that. So they didn't have any Canadian craft. But the one thing I didn't expect, I guess I didn't look on the app, went to the American, walking past the American section of the world, you know, the world culture thing on Epcot. And yeah, there's this beer booth and they have some six packs sitting out front. And there was Golden Monkey, Bell's Oberon, Blue Point Toasted Lager, and this Napa Smith Brew, which I hadn't heard of, but it was a double IPA. Like, holy shit, you know, sweet. So I had double IPA. It was delicious. Napa Smith Brew, you know, it had a I guess I had a little bit of prejudice. It had like a label that looked like it was trying to be one of those old-timey German regional brewery type labels, you know. And I guess I have a prejudice against that kind of label because I wasn't expecting too much at first, right? I never realized I had such a prejudice, but now I do. Now I know it's something I need to address. Yeah, I don't maintain that prejudice. But I tried it. It was delicious. I was happy to have it, except for the $9 price tag. Went to the you know, I was looking, you know, everyone said have a beer in Germany. Went to Germany, but there was like a 20-minute line for the two beer booths in Germany. I'm like, fuck, I'm not waiting for this. Especially, you know, and you could only get the Hefeweizen at the sit-down dinner, right? So I was looking at either an Oktoberfest, probably was okay, or, I guess it was just a Helles or something like that. I don't know. So I didn't wait for a line at Germany. Trying to think. I don't think I had beers anywhere else. I had it at the two places in Hollywood Studios. I had the U.S., you know, the America section of the world of the walk. And I had a New Belgium Ranger IPA at the hotel resort. It's funny. I ordered it. It was on the menu right on the... They have a little coaster menu type thing, you know, on the bar. It's on there. I could order it. Bartender's looking. He pulls the coaster to see what I was talking about. Guess they don't sell too many Rangers. He still can't find it. His manager's there looking. I'm like, brown can, green circle. I'm pretty sure brown can, green circle. I'm like, oh. So yeah, they don't sell too many Ranger IPAs.
No, it doesn't sound like.
But that was on Christmas, so maybe the bartender
was not
isn't the most experienced bartender, right? Maybe he was just filling in. That was a weird thing. You know, Christmas is so vibrant and everything there. And I might have seen the tweet where I was going to suggest to Heather, let's ditch this pop stand and, like, go out to real Orlando and get a dinner. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Christmas. I'm not going to find a place that's open except for, like, a Chinese joint or something like that.
I don't know. More and more places are open on Christmas.
Yeah, I would have wanted to gone to, like, a brew pub or something like that. And they were almost certainly not going to be open on Christmas. But when Heather saw my tweet, she didn't know what I meant, you know, cause I kind of said, you know, I was going to suggest we go out to eat somewhere else tonight. And then I realized what today was, and, you know, because she was so caught up in the whole Disney thing too. She didn't realize that it was a Christmas A day where everything is closed. Mm-hmm. So it really sucks you in, you know, it doesn't seem like Christmas to me. Like, I think I prefer Christmas at home better than there. Like I said, the Christmas season, it'd be nice to go around Christmas, but not during on Christmas.
I think the funny thing to me was when you made a tweet, your first tweet talking about how the temperature was so great. You said it was like 78 degrees, and it was probably 72 degrees in Pittsburgh. It really was. I mean, it was. Uh-huh. We went through a real warm snap.
It actually went up to like 87 degrees the one day. Uh-huh. It was like almost too hot for theme park touring.
Yeah. It went down real quick, but it was funny because you said, oh, look at that perfect. It was like, just go outside. It's really just the same.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is there to relay about the Disney? 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is gone. I was looking for that. That ride's there no more. I did tweet about the first ride we went to was... I should talk about the app I used for planning where to go. There's touringlines.com. And this is an app that my brother-in-law used, and he let me use his login because he subscribed. It was good for a year, so his account was still good, so I just logged in as him. They have a couple things. They have the line wait times, which are their estimates, and they kind of crowdsource it, and they have their own statistical, you know, estimations of these things. But they also have touring plans. So you can say, Walt Disney World, 2 days, small children. And they give you a plan. They tell you how to do it. It's like a virtual concierge. So it said, you know, do Belle's Enchanted Story first, do this, do that. And it even had, for small children, had like, take like a 2-hour break in the afternoon. Go back to the hotel. So like, it was a really good tour plan for that. So I would recommend that. The only thing it lacked was it didn't accommodate the new kinds of fast pass that the magic bracelets have. And I guess I should talk about that a little bit too. But other than that, it was a very useful app. Its line estimates were the Disney guys. They always overestimate the line estimates. So no one gets pissed off that it says 30 minutes and it took them 40. So instead, if it's a 40-minute wait, it's going to say 50 or 60 minutes. So this one gives you a more accurate picture on how long the waits are going to be. When we rode the Thunder Mountain Railroad, Disney said it was going to be a 50-minute wait. It took us 27 minutes. So, not too bad. We beat the touring line's estimate. For some reason, the line just had, you know, really shortened right for us that time. But, fast passes. You asked me how the fast passes work. There's two kinds of fast passes. There's traditional fast pass where normal ticket holder gets a card, I think, and they're allowed to go redeem 3 fast passes a day. And the traditional way you do it is you go to the ride early, and there's booths that hand out fast pass tickets, and they say come back at a certain time. But you actually have to go to the booth first. So you have to walk to the ride to get the ticket, go somewhere else, and come back later. With the My Magic bracelets, they have Fast Pass Plus. You go online days in advance, and you book your fast passes. So you pick 3. So like, I picked Space Mountain, Big Thunder Railroad, and It's a Small World. You kind of pick the order, and you hit submit. And they give you 4 options. Like, you can see them at this time, and this time. And then option B is this time, and that time. And usually it's a morning, a middle, and a late type distribution, right. But you can't pick the times you want. You just look at these. You have to pick from these options they give you. And when you pick them, they give you an hour window to go back to the ride. So you're booked for It's a Small World between 10 and 11 o'clock. So if you show up right at 10 o'clock, a lot of people might be just opened up then. So it might be a short line. You fast pass in by scanning your bracelet, and they give you a whole second queue that you walk through. And usually there's only like 5 people, if that, in the queue. So, and they bake it into the whole ride thing, right? And some rides, there might be rows that are for Fast Pass only, and then the rest of the rows are for the other people, right? Mm-hmm. But everyone in the park gets some Fast Passes, so no one really feels like they're getting cut on. It's just, you know, I'm waiting in line now, I Fast Pass later somewhere else, you know?
Is there a way you can buy exclusive Fast Pass to everyone?
I'm not sure if you can get additional fast passes. I mean, I don't know what it costs.
Like, if you're Justin Bieber, I'm sure you can, but...
Right.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I'd have to ask Heather. This whole vacation, I told Heather I don't want to know what it cost me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it cost me. I was curious whether there was, like, you could buy a la carte fast passes and how much they cost. Because, you know, there could be a couple of sweet spots of, you know, getting another 2 fast passes per day or something like that. It depends on what they mark it up at, you know? The fast passes are nice. You want to use an app like Touring Lines to tell you which ones are the long waits and book those ones up, you know? Book up Peter Pan's Flight is a ridiculously long wait. Mm-hmm. Space Mountain.
Matterhorn?
That's in Disneyland, I believe.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's not in Disney World, or I missed it if it is.
Well, Space Mountain's in both.
There's no Matterhorn unless I really flaked out and didn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, so that's how the fast passes work. You can also use fast passes for character, like autographs and stuff like that. So, like, there was one day we were at Epcot or Hollywood Studios, and we didn't, you know, there was not that many things to ride. So, we used the fast pass to get Allison to do the whole meet and greet with Rapunzel or something like that. So, she didn't have to stand in line for 30 minutes to get a character who's playing a princess to sign her autograph book. Yeah, autograph books.
For, yeah, people playing.
How about 40-year-old, two 40-year-old women having breakfast with the princesses? Sitting at the table. So we went to this one breakfast where it was it's a character breakfast. So we went to, I forget the name of the place, but it was the restaurant that's in the castle, in Cinderella's castle. And it was a brunch. And it was one of the few places that wasn't a buffet, but it was a limited menu, so we both had the steak and eggs. Kids had a kid's breakfast. And while you're eating, four princesses come around, or five princesses. See, there was... We met Cinderella downstairs.
So Belle, I'm assuming?
Well, we met Cinderella downstairs, so she wasn't walking the floor. But yeah, Belle, Aurora...
Jasmine,
Ariel, Snow White. I think that's it. So they come around, and you can get your pictures with them, and they'll sign autograph books. Again, a character playing a fictional princess signing an autograph. Mm-hmm. You can tell how I feel about that.
At least you're not paying for it.
Yeah, you're not paying for that part. But the table behind us, two women, no kids, in their 40s, having this breakfast, character breakfast, getting their pictures taken with girls playing princesses.
Why not? I mean, there's, you know, part of the enjoyment of a place like Disney, it seems to me, is
a kid again.
Yeah, just to let yourself go, yeah. to not have to worry about keeping up appearances and just sort of, yeah, let yourself be.
Wear
that
the stupid
kid.
Mouse ears and all that stuff. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, the breakfast was decent. It wasn't like they were paying for, like, you know, French toast sticks and, you know, and, you know,
like stuff they shot in the microwave.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe it just seemed, you know, when I saw these adults at the character breakfast, I was like, okay, but I guess you're right. I guess. Maybe I have a hard time putting myself in the mind where even when you're being carefree and fun, you still think it's cool to get your photo taken with a princess. A fictional princess.
It might be tough to put yourself in that mindset, but I'm not going to, you know, to judge people for, you know, maybe I'd judge somebody if I went to some restaurant around here and saw that happen, I'd be like, that's a little weird. But, you know, you're at Disney World.
The waitress is like, you can get your pictures, they'll sign things, you can do whatever you want with them. You can imagine where my mind went immediately.
Oh, you have to listen to some Comedy Bang Bang. There's a guy named Don DeMello, which is, it's really, it's comedian Andy Daly, but he does a character called Don DeMello who he talks like this, and he used to do the Rockettes and he said, you know, so he got Rockettes Christmas, and you got something for the kids and then something for daddy. And he does this whole spiel about how now he runs the Pasadena Fairy Tale Theater, but midnight shows, and then if you want to screw the girls, you just pay $20 or something like that. It's all something for daddy.
Yeah, when she said you can do whatever you want with the princesses. Are you sure? She said I could. There's no groping in the Magic Kingdom, apparently. Or no rules against groping in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I think I'd check those rules.
Fastpass, I think that's about it. The trip home was a marathon. Again, we had planned on maybe stopping someplace. Optimistically, I was like, yay, let's drive past Asheville, spend the day in Asheville. Didn't add too much time to the drive home. It's about halfway. Thing is, so we woke up at 6 in the morning, went to the park. We didn't get out of Disney. We left the Disney Resort property around 9:30 at night, stopped at Whole Foods, picked up that Cigar City beer, and So that means we would get to Jacksonville about midnight, get to Savannah, Georgia around 2 a.m. You know, it would have been like 4:30 in the morning before we got to Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
That would have just fucked that day up horribly.
Yeah.
Kids had presents here at home. We're tired. We just want to get home. So we just drove straight through the night. Drove for an hour, 2 hours, till our eyes start getting cross-eyed and can't focus on the road. Pull over, change seats. I'd nap. Heather would drive for a little bit. We'd switch again. Probably switch like 8 or 10 times on the way home. But it worked. The kids slept until about 6:30 in the morning. And we got home at 3:45. So from 9:30 to 3:45. 9:30 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. was the trip.
Yeah. And, you know, and Jeff, and I wasn't expecting Jeff to be ready to do a show. And Jeff messaged me saying, I'm not going to be able to do a show today. I was like, yeah, I didn't think you would.
Well, I tweeted him, like, I got some beers from Cigar City.
Yeah.
I said, right now, I'm feeling okay. But I'm scared to commit to something at 9 o'clock tonight because who knows?
I was not expecting you at all to be able to do a show after a drive like that.
Yeah.
And I was fully like.
And then around 7 o'clock, it was just like boom, wall hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to go to bed. And that was it. I would consider doing that drive home again. Again, saved another $100 and some on a hotel room partway. Mm-hmm.
Having an extra driver really helps.
Yeah. And, you know, the weird thing was, you know, sitting there with your eyes closed in a dozing state, but not a real... I don't think I ever really fell asleep. It was enough to keep you fresh enough to drive for another hour, you know, another leg of the trip.
You probably fell asleep for brief periods of time, like, you know, a couple minutes or so. But, it's true. Just resting is enough to get yourself back into... Mm-hmm. At least for an hour or so.
Yeah, I don't think we could have sustained a cross-country drive doing that.
No.
But you know, the 1,000-mile drive. It's funny, from my house to Walt Disney World Resort, it's 1,000 miles on the nose. It's actually 1,007 miles to our hotel. But just if you put in Walt Disney World Resort from here, Google will tell you it's 1,000 miles.
1,000.
Again, it's a whole round number that means nothing, but it's like, holy shit, we're 1,000 miles from Disney. Exactly.
Well, of course, not as the crow flies. I'm sure it's slightly different.
Oh, no, driving course.
Yeah. The crow flies, I imagine it's a smaller.
How many people can say they live 1,000 miles from Disney and know it, though? Not very many.
There's a circle, right?
Yes. But no, how many of those people know it?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably not many.
Again, another useless number, but it's my proud useless number.
I'm willing to let you have that useless number.
I think that's about it. If you have any specific questions, let me know. See, I'm already starting to forget about the pain. I'm saying it was a good trip and it's worthwhile. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm forgetting about the meltdowns and like, oh, come on.
Yeah, like you mentioned on Twitter, you know, like you're trying to psychically tell your kids to enjoy this, to appreciate it.
Don't make me beat the fun into you.
Yeah,
my kids weren't the only kids melting down.
Yeah, of course not. Three is really, really young for that, and six is pretty young.
Oh, and the other tip is, if your kid's three, play them off as two. They'll be free, and no one really look at it a second time. Mm-hmm. So.
That's what you did?
Yeah, I mean, Max is big for his age. Yeah. He turned three in August, and no one questioned it. So.
That's cool. I remember something funny was, that reminds me of my sister went through... with her kids back when Ava was four, or Ava was five and Jesse was one. And you can take a kid as long as they're, I think, under two the same way on an airplane. And so as Joanna was getting out ID or whatever to prove that Jesse was less than two, the person who was at the gate or whatever, just said, no, I have a better way. And she asked Ava. And she said, how old is your little brother? And she said, one. And I was like, okay, because she's not going to lie about that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really brilliant.
We actually told Allie Max is two for this. And don't tell anyone. And then, like, she was telling people on the bus, like, he's two. But then she started to whisper, he's really three. You know, like, and Heather had to, like, change her, like, get her to stop talking. Like, not that anyone on the bus is going to care or whatnot, but Allison just could not keep that secret. You know, she knew to say two, but she also had to reveal. She would tell the person she's two, two, yeah. But then also tell the person the secret.
Well, that means that she has a good heart on her. Right? Yeah. She wants to tell the truth.
I asked her today, how old's Max? And she's like three. I'm like, you're right. The secret's over.
That's cute. But you can't encourage your kids to lie. Bad.
Disney prints money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, okay, so that's your Disney report.
Yep.
Anything else to add?
There's a rumor. I was talking to one of the guys the one night we were waiting for a table for dinner. And he was pretty candid about things. I mean, I don't know. Disney probably doesn't pay their holiday staff all that well, and this guy was doing stroller valet for the one restaurant. But I guess there's rumors they're going to open a fourth theme park or fifth theme park down there. It's something like the Dark Kingdom, and it's going to be based on all the villains, and it's going to be mostly thrill rides.
Huh.
That's going to print money.
Yeah.
I think they want to compete more with Universal and maybe some Six Flags, so it's going to be, you know, probably not as much kid stuff, but, you know, all the rides will be themed villain. Seems like a neat idea.
That's kind of cool.
I guess they did a...
Give it some cred with teenagers.
I guess
a little something like that. Yeah.
I guess on Friday the 13th, they did something at Hollywood Studios. It was all villains, and I guess it was, like, packed. Like, bonkers packed. Like, you couldn't park at Hollywood Studios. You had to park at Epcot and walk. Or something like that, so... Uh-huh. So, yeah. For the first couple of years, you're not going to be able to get into the place, I'm sure, if they build it. Now I'm done with Disney.
All right.
Fuck Disney.
Yeah, fuck Disney.
The only shirt... So I did get a shirt, but it was just a plain old Pixar Animation Studio shirt.
Uh-huh.
Black shirt, says Pixar across it, the eyes of the lamp, and that's it. You know, I didn't like any of the other stuff. Nothing... Like, there was actually almost a shirt I got. I saw this Walt Disney World...
A fuck Disney shirt. Fuck Disney.
I thought there was a dress code for Disney, and so Heather didn't pack any of the beer shirts. And I think generally there is, but I did see a Sly Fox. First beer shirt I saw was Sly's Box Brewing, then I saw Dogfish one.
Mm.
But on the way out, the last day, a guy had this shirt where it's kind of the illustration of a man, but his arms are up in the air like celebrating, and then the caption was, I poop today. The guy wore that to Disney. So maybe there isn't a dress code.
I know there's a, at least there was for a while, everybody at Disney had that shave. No one could have a beard.
Mm.
I don't know whether that's the case or not anymore.
Well, I was talking about guests, not...
Yeah, I know.
I don't know about beards.
But I don't know about, a dress code for people. I mean, obviously, don't wear profanity and stuff on your shirt, but...
Yeah. There was a... So I found this... There was like a...
Did you get a big turkey leg, by the way?
No, they were like $12.
About $9 beers.
I didn't want a fucking turkey leg. I just had turkey. Last month.
So, it's a month ago.
There's other things to eat. They actually had the one day at the Hollywood Studios.
How often do you get a big turkey leg?
They had Disney food trucks at the one, like... It wasn't there the one time we were at Holiday Studios. Go back and on the main street, on the set street, there was a couple food trucks, and I had a lamb meatball pita thing. It was really good. Really good. Probably best food I've had, except for the, the sit-down $42 buffet dinners. I couldn't eat enough food to make it worth $42, but... Anyway, yeah, I was going to say about the shirts. There was, I saw the zip-up fleece that had the old-timey Walt Disney World logo. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, just a little. And I grab it on the back. It's like dwarves celebrating 2014 New Year's and all this bullshit. I'm like, there goes the only shirt I'd get.
Well, sounds like you had a good time, and yeah. Hopefully your kids will remember it. You know, they were more in when I got here. They're more interested in the toys.
Right now, they're tired of talking about Disney. I think that's it. I mean, grandparents asked them all about it. I've been bugging them to talk to it about the people, and they're just tired of talking about Disney. Because we asked them the whole way home, you know, just kind of gauge their feel. Yeah, they're just sick of it. Just like everyone who's listening is sick about hearing about it.
So you didn't stop by south of the border. South of the border. Is that still around?
I don't know.
Okay, it was... They used to have for like 100 miles in either way between the border of North Carolina and South Carolina, there's a little cheesy park that had, you know, sort of a Mexican theme. And they had all these animated billboards, which catch kids' attention. Mm. And, you know, that's why my parents agreed to stop there, was because I was like, yeah, we got to go there because all the boards are...
I didn't see any of those billboards. I don't think it's around, or at least they're not putting billboards up anymore.
I think I may have heard that it's gone. No, it's still there. It's still there. But, you know, what they do is they put up a whole bunch of different billboards and they have animated stuff. Maybe you took a different route that didn't...
Yeah, I mean... If you were going from the Maryland area, you probably were on 95 a lot longer than I was.
Yes.
I didn't get on 95 until... Oh, yeah. I didn't get on 95 until South Carolina.
Yeah. So yeah. It's off 95, so we would just go straight down 95.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was past... If it was on 95, I was past it.
For all you Californians, the 95.
The 95.
Okay, oh, there, yeah.
Okie dokie. Let's go drink some beer.
Let's do it.